Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Coming up next hour, a little bit more on the Carolina Panthers, the team we're previewing this week as part of the NFC South, a team, again, that will go in with a rookie quarterback this season in Bryce Young. They're also a new head coach in Frank Reich. Matt Rhule, college coach, college system, college conversation, college treatment. Everything that college coaches do in college doesn't work in the NFL. We'll talk about the Panthers coming up. The United States World Cup women's team will be playing Sweden early Sunday morning in Australia. They went 1-0-2 in three matches in group play. They are the underdogs against Sweden, who won their group. And joining us on our Progressive guest line is Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. How are you, Glenn?
Tony, good morning. Thank you for having me on. Looking forward to a great weekend of soccer around the world.
All right, again, 1-0-2, a draw against Portugal to at least earn enough to get in the knockout stage. How vulnerable do you see the United States?
I think we saw they're very vulnerable. They have a chance to reboot themselves in this tournament. Another foot inside the post, and they're out of the tournament right now. So this is a difficult matchup for them. Would not be surprised if they are eliminated, but look, this is the healthy pressure you want. So let's respond to it, and let's see if we can go on a run. It is a tournament. It is a tournament format.
How, if you were to pinpoint something that's not working that had worked, what would it be? What seems to be plaguing this team in the three matches in group play?
Yeah, I think possession and the ability to manage games. I think we really have to put into context the fact that the rest of the world has really caught up, and for some people, it's like a revelation. It's just happening now. This began four World Cups back. Anybody who looked at the great soccer-playing nations around the world and women's sports and women's soccer and said, if you don't think the Netherlands and you don't think Spain and you don't think Colombia, if they invest in the game and make it more culturally appropriate that women are playing the game of soccer, and if you don't think they're going to rise and become better and grow, and by the way, with a lot less resources than the United States, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't something that just happened. That's the thing that kind of is funny. People are like, oh, my God, the rest of the world caught up. Yeah, they've been catching up for the last three or four World Cups. So big one to me is just ball possession. It just looks off. The team just, a lot of unforced errors. They don't look in control. They look nervy. So we'll see.
So if you have a match like they had against Portugal, where you have a 0-0 draw, but when you kind of break it down, there were plenty of opportunities in the box. There were plenty of shots that didn't go. How do you take that? Is that a playing well and missing the opportunities, or you should have capitalized on, you're not playing well and you should have capitalized on those opportunities?
Well, that's the interesting thing. How does that get positioned by the coach? And, you know, look, this is why we're in sports talk radio, right? We can all have an opinion. We can position it from the standpoint of ultra positive, and we can also position it from the negative. I mean, the U.S. women have been such winners in World Cups 50% of the time they've won it. It's only been going on since 1991. If you want to put it in context to how long the men's World Cup, I think the men's World Cup was back in 34, maybe. So, you know, it is evolutionary, but this is where a coach really has to motivate a team. And let's see, with the healthy pressure, which I think is really, really fair, it's not unfair, stuff coming from Carly Lloyd and all, I mean, that's what we want. We want opinion, and we want ex-players like her who's, you know, scored a hat-trick in a World Cup final. We want them to have an opinion, and if it doesn't look right to them, we want their thoughts and judgment on it, and I love that, because I think that's the next phase of soccer in this country. We are so ultra-sensitive, we don't understand what it's like in other countries around the world, unless you've played there, how intense the scrutiny and the pressure can get.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it adds even more validity to what you're doing when criticism is coming. It's not just a go out and try your best and see what happens. There really is a standard, and they're not living to a standard, and you can break it down any way you want. We can disagree about that and whatnot. I agree with you completely. Let's get to Dan Dinofsky. Go ahead.
You need healthy pressure. I need healthy pressure. We need people to disagree with us. We need healthy, fair debate. We don't need mudslinging. And that's what makes the world go round. I mean, I love to hear people talking about what's going wrong and how it could potentially be improved. And I think in our country with soccer, we're ultra sensitive right now. We are always in this mode of we have to protect and we have to present everything in just a glowingly beautiful way. And we know sports is not like that. Sports is a meritocracy. It's competition. Things go well, things go wrong. It's okay. It's not an indictment on anybody's overall play or their overall coaching career. It's just the way it goes. And I think we really have to improve in that. And I think that's U.S. soccer, that's Major League Soccer, and that's right on down to the U.S. men's and women's national teams.
The head coach, Vlato Andonovsky, what do we know about him? And I know he's got some success in the Women's Professional League. What do we know about what he's doing and how he can get the best out of this team on Sunday?
Well, he it's judgment day for him. There's no doubt. It's judgment day. He's had tremendous success in the NWSL, the pro league here in the States. That's how he got the U.S. men's job. There's a lot of talk about his substitution patterns, his tactics, playing people out of position. All of these things come with not advancing and playing well. I mean, that's normal. There will be some that say because there is a lot of young players on this team, and they are the future, that he's got to be a little firmer with that group. But look, I'm not at practice. I don't know. He does seem like a very calm and laid-back individual, although I know he can get intense. So, you know, look, it's judgment day. He doesn't get out of the group. It's the worst showing.
I don't want to get too far ahead, but if they were to lose, and again, who knows, but if they were to lose, is that red alert, or is that what you just said, which is, look, we may have a different approach now, and we should not accept losing, but embrace the fact that this World Cup now has got some real teams and real countries being up that have raised the level of play.
I think it could be the best thing that happens to the women's national team program. I know people are going to say, oh, my God, he's anti-American. No, I'm not. I've been the biggest purveyor of women's soccer. I've called national championships, numerous women's national team games. I've watched the whole journey. I've been a part of it. I've helped to try to promote the NWSL and everything. But I think much like the men's national team, when they got eliminated, there was an arrogance around the team that needed to be, extracted and eliminated. And I think sometimes just a clean reboot is a great thing, puts more pressure on people to perform, examine the way we're developing soccer players in the United States in the context with the emerging soccer world on the women's side. So I think it could be the healthiest thing that happens, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's not a complete apples-to-apples comparison, but it's very similar to when the United States Dream Team was winning the Olympic gold in basketball. The rest of the world said, we will try to get close to you. And eventually they beat the U.S., and then the U.S. said, well, we have to refocus, and if we're going to continue to do this, it has to start. We have to know that we can be beat.
Yeah, and there's a lot of natural progression that goes on in the pecking order. You know, a lot of the older players that coaches are trying to decide whether they belong or not at this point, also honoring their careers. They get moved on. We saw that this gave additional time for kids like Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams to accelerate their development. And I'll tell you what, it would have been accelerated even more if not for the pandemic. So I think it could be a very healthy thing. There's a little too much individualism, I think, on this team from a couple of the older players. That I think is not beneficial, and that has been around this team. It sometimes to me it seems like it's everything but soccer. It's commercial. It's, hey, I'm trying to build my brand. I'm saying things to bring attention to myself. Let's get back to football and playing soccer.
Got it. Glenn Davis, and host of Soccer Matters, always comes on when we do have questions about the world of soccer. Appreciate your time, my friend, as always.
Tony, as always, thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you again sometime.
You got it. Glenn Davis, again, host of Sacramento's Women's World Cup knockout stage in Australia very early on Sunday morning against Sweden. A very good defensive team. And the U.S., again, not impressive in three matches, but, again, still has the talent. They will play without Rose Lavelle, who is out with a yellow card suspension. That could really hurt them. But I kind of agree with him in one way. I do think that this has the same or similar story to Olympic basketball, where the United States Dream Team in 1992 dominated so badly that it was, you almost felt like they're mocking this. But then over time, there was a loss in the FIBA basketball championships by the U.S. 10 years later. And it resulted in a bronze medal at the Athens Games. And the United States, we're not going to do that again. 2008, Kobe took over that team. And so we are not losing again. Could that happen for the U.S. women if they were to be exited out early in the knockout stage, especially Sunday morning against a very, very good Swedish team? All right, we'll continue. Hour number three coming up next. We continue.